Christmas time is coming close by, so I think I thought of giving a sermon. I thought of giving a sermon before Christmas, so we will know how ourselves as Christians, that we would, you know, we will have some guidance and some information that how we should conduct our lives as Christians in this wicked world. Now, if I ask you some questions, for instance, is it okay to observe Christmas? Is it okay to observe Christmas? Or is it not okay to observe Christmas? Is it a sin to observe Christmas? To tell you the truth, the Puritans never observed Christmas. We come from they observe the Word of God about the traditions of the world. There is no law in the Bible, there is no law in the church that is given that December 25th is regarded as the birth of our Lord. Absolutely not. It does not say anywhere that the Protestant church established this law and the people should follow this law. There is none. The Bible alone is the ultimate authority. At the same time, there are so many Christians who follow superstition, tradition, above the Word of God. And Christmas is one of them. Today, Christmas has become a Christian holiday. They say it is a Christian holiday. But you don't find Christmas anywhere in the Bible. It doesn't show what day Jesus was born. You don't find anything. Christmas has become a Christian holiday. Are we under obligation to follow the Christmas as the birth of our Lord?
No.
Absolutely not. This day is no different than January 1st or December 26th or any other day. But is it okay to observe Christmas? That's the question. I believe you will not sin against the Lord if you observe it for God's glory. If you observe it for God's glory, I don't think you will sin against the Lord. And you know that it's not the birth of our Lord and Savior. But if you observe for the sake of superstition, for the sake of tradition, in a worldly way, then you have a problem. Where Santa Claus becomes the center of Christmas, your devotion is more on Christmas gifts, holiday shopping, Christmas trees, and decorations, then you are following idolatry. What does the Bible say? To love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So if any day becomes more lovable than the Lord, and that, then it becomes an idolatry. Now, even pagans follow Christmas in this manner. So, why should Christians follow as the pagans follow in this manner? There's a difference there. In Luke chapter 2, verse 9, says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And they were filled with fear." They were afraid. What happened? When the angels appeared before the shepherds, there was a majestic heavenly light that lit up in the sky with extraordinary splendor and beauty of the appearance of an angel. There was a mixture of reverence and fear as the shepherds were afraid of this majestic heavenly splendor. But there was a sweet comforting at the same time as the angel spoke to the shepherds in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." For behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. So here, we have to understand, take the word of God and see, as the angel said, that the birth of Christ is going to be an exceedingly joy. It's going to be a great joy. The birth of Christ. So it's a great joy. It's not the worldly type of Christmas that is going to be a world great joy. But the birth of Christ is going to be a great joy. That's what we need to understand. It's not the giving of the gifts that's going to be a great joy. That's what you see in the world. People come and give gifts, they're excited. Oh, you know, they honor one another, congratulate one another, put one another a bow on a pedestal. That's the joy. Every religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, they too observe these holidays. That's the way they observe. So why should Christian do like that? Not the decorations. It is the birth of our beloved Lord that is going to be the joy. If you observe that way, you are right on. That's what the Word of God says. Christ did not take the form of an angel, but He became a man. The Creator of the universe decided to leave His throne to be with His creatures. This, if the Creator of the universe, if the Creator who made you and me, one day He decided to leave His throne and to be with us, what a great joy that's going to be. That is the great joy. It's not the Santa Claus. It's not the worldly Christmas spirit that's going to be the great joy. It is Jesus. The angels rejoiced as the fallen men will come to know their Creator. That is the great joy. Angels were excited to give this message to the creatures as they said, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. Luke chapter 2 verse 11 says, For unto you, what is a great joy? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See the word. Savior, Lord. A Savior is born to whom? For the sinners. Only a sinner need a Savior. Not for the righteous. A Savior is born for the sinners. The Savior is none other than Lord Himself. As He says, Christ the Lord. It's not only the Savior, it's the Lord Himself. If God Himself became a Savior. This is the greatest joy for His creatures, for us, for the fallen race. The angels could not keep their mouth shut. They could not keep silent as they erupted with great joy. And there was holy joy and holy adoration. Not carnal worldliness of Christmas. But there was devout praise and heavenly joy. It's a spiritual joy. Christmas has become today a fleshly joy, a carnal joy. That's not the way it should be. It should be a spiritual joy. You understand? I want to show the difference very clearly, cut and clear, the difference how people observe Christmas and if you want to observe, the right way to observe. There's no middle ground here. That's very clear. There's no compromising here. If you do compromise, you fall into idolatry. So that's what we need to understand. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, if angels were joyful, exceedingly joyful, how much more we should be? Because Christ came not for the benefit of the angels, He came for the benefit of us. So if angels were joyful so much, how much more we should be? With the presence of angels praising God, angels praise God in heaven all the time. And here, the angels are praising God and Christ in the midst. It's like heaven on earth. If heaven is like heaven coming down, with heavenly music, with angelic joys and songs, you know, of angels in heaven coming down, how much more we who are on earth give our joys and our praise and our adoration to heaven. The glory of heaven became empty for a minute. There was a silence as heaven, the glory of heaven became empty as for a moment there was an emptiness, but that glory was manifested on earth. This is the profound mystery. God becoming a man. God became a man. In 1 Timothy 3:16, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in the world, taken up in glory. In John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then it says, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Shekinah. It is sad during the time of the this year, you know, and time of this time, many worship a little feeble baby, an infant. But he is the creator of the heaven. It's not only an infant. God, He is the creator of the heaven and earth, as God Himself took up human nature. Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it is not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. The mystery is what? The Son of God became a son of man. That's the mystery. The Son of God became a son of man. That alone is enough for our souls to elevate with songs of joy to heaven. When the Son of God became a son of man. God never ever united with His creatures before. Now, at His birth, He became a man just like us. That's why John, 1 John 3:1, not only He became like one of us, and not only His work on the cross, His sacrifice, and what He did on the cross, He brought the elect to the Father, and we are called what? The sons of God now. The Son a God, became a son of man, so that we can become the sons of the living God. That's why 1 John chapter 3, 1 says what? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. The world does not know God. Absolutely not. That's why they follow a different tradition, or a worldly Christmas spirit, in a carnal way. That is, they are joy, excited, in the flesh, not in the spirit. Absolutely not. Christ is not there. He is not there. There was great joy as God has come to be with man, to have union with man, to be united with man. The Lord of heaven decided to be with the sinners on this earth. That's a joy. This is the greatest joy. He was infinitely holy. He lived a holy, perfect life. He lived with sinners, but He never sinned. He was tempted in all points, in all directions, just like how we are tempted. And He never sinned. Christmas opens, Christmas, as I said, if we do it in the right way, if we give glory to God, then He's going to be honored. Christmas opens the doors for opportunity. It's the greatest time for opportunity. Because they're talking about Christ too. It has something to do with Christ. They take the physical, and we can use the physical to show them the spiritual. Just like the Samaritan woman, who was thirsty for water. She was talking physical, and Jesus showed what? The spiritual. People in the world, for Christmas, is all physical. It's carnal joy. But we can turn that up and show the spiritual joy. What an opportunity to witness. So Christians, I believe Christians should not live in a bubble. But we should be like our Lord. We should be like our Lord. We must have contacts with the world, or else how can we witness? How can we show them the good news? We should not think it is out of place for the Christian to be with unbelievers. Because our motive should be what? To be a light for them. Our motive should be to witness to them. If our motive is to be conformed to them, if we say we are going to be with the unbelievers and we become like the unbelievers, and if we talk and act just like an unbeliever, then you better stay at home. Because your motives are not right. Was our Lord out of place when He attended the wedding feast? Of course not. Was He out of place when He was a friend, when He was called a friend of the publicans, of the sinners? He came, He says in the Bible, He came eating and drinking, but yet He did not sin. He was a light in a dark place. We as Christians are called what? Lights. To be shining through a dark world. If the friends and relatives invite you, and they will talk about sports, politics, health, wealth, social issues, you name it. The Lord has opened the door for you and I to pray for them, for the opportunities to come, that we will be a light shining in the midst of a crooked world, for us to witness. Our whole goal is what? To make the physical joy of the world, to show them the spiritual joy, the truth of Christmas. We should not get indulged in worldliness, but show the light of Christ. God became a man. Why? To deliver man from sin, and that we would be blessed. This should be our devotion. This should be our motive. How we can bless somebody else with the love of Christ. In the same way what Christ did, that should be our example. Because the Bible says we must follow as He. We must follow Him. Also Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Remember, God, He stoops down to man. That's not easy. There's a sacrifice there. To leave heaven on earth. In the same way, we need to make time for the unbelievers. We need to make time. We need to find time. It's so important. There is a sacrifice there. Not our thing all by ourselves. There's a calling for all of us from heaven. The call is that if we are regenerated, if God called us to be a Christian, and you're a Christian, still living on this earth for a purpose, to glorify God. Angels sang with great joy. Why? A Savior is born. That is the message we should proclaim to the sinners. A Savior is born. If you are ever going to take the opportunity of observing this day for the glory of God, the center is a Savior is born for the sinners, not for the righteous. He was a Savior by birth, and for this purpose, He was born to this world. Why? He came to reconcile men to God. Reconciliation. That should be our motive. How we can reconcile a sinner, a wicked man, a person who is enjoying the worldly ways of Christmas or whatever holiday is, to God. And then when he realizes the true meaning of Christmas, true birth, wow, he will be so happy, excited. Thank God, I never saw that. They cannot see it because they are blinded by the enemy. They are fallen in their nature unless God regenerates them. And this is the ultimate, once they come to know Christ, that will be the ultimate peace and joy. As Luke 24:2-14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This will be the true peace. Coming to know Christ. A Savior is born. But if you come to know that true Savior, you will have peace. That's the true peace. Before, there was enmity with God. Right? The book of Romans chapter 8. But now, through Christ, we have what? Peace with God. No matter what you go through, no matter how difficult tribulations, or whatever you go through, calamities, still, there's a peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who are very wealthy, they don't have peace. I'll tell you. Now, all the money they have, still they don't have peace. There are a lot of poor people, they don't have peace either. So there is no peace at homes today. Just listen to the news. Read the news, just everyday news. What do you see? There's no peace at home. It's no peace in schools. There's no peace at work. There's no peace in this country. No peace in the streets. There's no peace in the world. That's what you see. No peace. But yet, people are really looking for friends. For somebody they can trust. They're looking for true friends. Who can bring what? true peace to them. As Christians, we have this opportunity around us. So our goal is what? To be bridge builders. You know, building a bridge as on one side of the land, as another side of the land, and there's a gulf there. What do? We are Christians, they are non-Christians. What do? We make a bridge. How long does it take to make a bridge? It takes a long time. It's not easy. As our goal to be bridge builders, that is called friendship evangelism. Friendship evangelism is not to be like them. We are not going to imitate them and to conform to their evil ways, just like Jesus was with the sinners. He did not say that they will say, "Oh, I have a friend that I can trust. I can tell something to this friend, but I know if I tell this to this friend, he will or she will never tell anybody. I can tell my problems, I can get counseling, I can get advice, because I know I can trust this person. But if you're the person who will say, "Oh, tell me more, then go and tell somebody else. That's worldly. And so we are called the bridge builders, friendship bridges with sinners, so we can show them the true peace of God. There was a person long time ago, probably about 200 years ago. His name was Wanken, and he was a German. He was a minister. And when he was converted to Christianity, the first thing he did was to do good to other people. That's what he did. He helped people. He wanted to do good to other people. How to help them. How to do good to people. That is making a bridge. Now he was converted to denomination of Baptists. Alright, he became a Baptist. And in his whole area of Germany, there wasn't one single Baptist church. All Lutheran churches with Luther, and most of these Lutheran churches have become corrupted at that time. And he was the only Baptist, so he thought that he will go back to his area, and he will do good to people, help people. And that's what he did. What is the result? He was able to establish 70 to 80 Baptist churches. Wow! That is giving glory to God. That should be the center of our life. Whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, we should live for the glory of God. This is the true Christmas message, giving glory to God. Angels did it, but angels were not benefited. We are benefited, and we should give glory to God. Like the wise men, they brought offerings, they brought gifts to the Lord. In the same way, we should bring offerings to the Lord. Offerings that will please Him. Offerings that will benefit others. We need to go out to the sinners, as the Lord said to Zacchaeus. Remember, this day salvation has come to this house. Wow! The Lord went to Zacchaeus' house. We should go. We should not stay in the house all the time. We should go just like the Lord went. Once we go, going is something we need to do. Going is a sacrifice. Going is the witness. Going is the talking. Christmas is not living in covetousness and in gluttony. Just like Thanksgiving is. Christmas is not living in covetousness. Oh, I like this. kids are like that. You know, getting everything what you can. You know, Christmas is what? People are getting to debts in this world. At the end, credit cards, right? They charge into everything. Buy everything for their friends and relatives and so forth like that. And at the year comes, the beginning of the year, they are broke. They are collecting cans now. The debts have gone, you know, just imagine. That's how the world lives. And we should not be like that. Christmas is not living in covetousness and gluttony, but glory to God. You know, it's okay for you to, you know, I believe in high technology. And if you can buy something for the glory of God, computer or laptop or whatever like that, it's good, but because you're buying it for the glory of God. And you can use it for the glory of God. For you, not only for your spiritual benefit, but also you can use it for others to witness. So Christmas, it should bring glory to God. So the homes and the families will be blessed to do good things and worship the King in His beauty. That is the true Christmas message. And I don't know, that's why I want to give this message, because I don't know, I want to give it early. Early, not on the Christmas day, it's too late. Before. So our minds, our attitudes will be changed. For us to know the true Christmas message, that's not the carnal, fleshly ways of the joy and the peace. No, absolutely not. If somebody gives you a gift, something really nice, you will have a lot of fleshly joy. You will have some peace for a minute, or probably for a few days. And after a few years or a few months, that will be there for garage sale, for yard sale. But if you have Christ, the Savior is born. God came down from heaven to His creatures. A Savior is born. The Lord is here. Came down to His own creatures. That peace can never be taken away. That joy is unspeakable joy and glory. Let's pray.